So welcome everyone to this interview where I'm really happy to be talking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Firstly, Dr. Teitelbaum, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Alex, it's great to be with you and with the listeners today because so many of you are suffering from stress and trauma, infection and other related illnesses where you're getting no help. And our goal today, if you have fatigue, brain fog, trouble sleeping, widespread pain, or chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, we are going to teach you how to make them what they are and how to make them go away.
And I'm really happy you're here, Dr. Teitelbaum. I remember first coming across your work probably 20, 25 years ago. And one of the things that from day one I appreciated was that, which we'll come into, you've had your own personal journey with fatigue. You've also got a great deal of clinical experience, but I also really appreciate the fact that you're constantly looking at how you can build the evidence base behind what you do in terms of the research. And I'm looking forward to talking later on in the interview about some of the more recent research that you've been doing. Just to give people that aren't aware of who you are, your background, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum is one of the most frequently quoted pain and fibromyalgia medical authorities in the world. He's the author of 10 books, including the best-selling From Fatigued to Fantastic and the popular free smartphone app Cures A to Z. He is the lead author of 5 studies on effective treatment for ME/CFS, and that's growing, I should say, and fibromyalgia. Dr. Teitelbaum appears often as a guest on news and talk shows nationwide, including Good Morning America, The Dr. Oz Show, Oprah and Friends, CNN, and Fox News Health. So, Dr. Teitelbaum, I think a good starting point would just be to share a little bit about your own story, because your specialism in fatigue, I know, was born out of some of your own struggles whilst you were a medical student.
It's funny. People ask me, what's a nice doctor like you doing in a field like chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia? It's kind of, you know, it's one of those things that you, as those of you who have the idea, the illness have realized, most doctors simply don't do. And what you'll find is that most practitioners who specialize in this area, it's because either they had the disease or a family member did. And, you know, I remember back in 1975, I was in medical school, had finished college basically in 2 years, 2.5 years. I was paying my own way through, was rolling through med school quickly. That was one of the easiest things in my life, working full time to pay my way through med school. I was working as a nurse in Children's Hospital. All of that were the easiest parts of my life. My family is an old Auschwitz family. My mom was in Auschwitz. Most of my family died in Auschwitz. And they all imploded emotionally. And I made the mistake of trying to be the peacemaker. Then I got this nasty viral infection. So on the context of a lot of background stress, there's a nasty viral infection, basically knocked me out of the game. I could not function even 6 weeks later. I was non-functional. I had to drop out of medical school. And since I couldn't work, I was homeless, sleeping in parks. It was as if the universe put a holistic homeless medical school sign on my park bench. And as a good Jewish boy, I wanted to be a healer since I was as long far back as I can remember. I always knew what I wanted to be, which meant being a physician. I didn't know there were any other pathways. But I met herbalists, I met nutritionists, I met energy workers, I met a naturopath. I didn't know there was such a thing as a naturopath. I met all these people while I was homeless on my park bench and on the road. And they taught me the bits and pieces of what I needed to do to be able to fully recover, go back to medical school. And I have been researching, writing, and treating these conditions for the last 45 years, making effective treatment available for everybody, everybody, not just those with money and the rest, is my goal. That's been the name of the game, mission statement, whatever you want to call it. And it's been a blast. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and I think you've provided an enormous amount of value to the world and what you've been doing. I'd love you to talk a bit about how you see what causes chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, this sort of group of illnesses. If you were to sort of explain the sort of the heart of your understanding, how would you frame that?
Basically, these illnesses represent an energy crisis. Basically, you're spending more energy than you're able to make. And that lands up tripping a circuit breaker. So the name of that circuit breaker is the hypothalamus, small almond-sized area in the limbic system. It controls sleep, which is why you can't sleep even though you're exhausted. That's the hallmark. You can't sleep though you're exhausted. Despite going on vacation, you trip that circuit breaker. It controls your entire hormone system. It controls autonomic function, orthostatic intolerance, things along those lines. So it's an energy crisis that trips that circuit and then the immune system circuit. So anything, there's not one thing causes it. Anything, whether it's an infection, whether it's autoimmune diseases, whether it's situational stress that causes you to spend more energy than you can make, will trip a circuit breaker and put you into the disease.
How, where do you sit in terms of diagnostic process, in terms of diagnosis via symptoms? Of course, we don't have any single biomarker in terms of testing, but when someone comes into your practice and they say, I'm tired all the time, I can't sleep, I have these symptoms, what's the methodology that you go through from a diagnostic point of view?
Well, in terms of making the diagnosis of CFS and fibromyalgia, it's very, very high tech. They come in, they say, I'm exhausted. I ask them, do you have trouble sleeping? They say, oh my God, I can't sleep worth a damn. Okay. Do you have brain fog? Yes. Do you have widespread pain? Yes. You have fibromyalgia until proven otherwise. On my website at vitality101.com, you look at step two. It's a 2-minute free quiz, and it'll tell you better than any test whether you have CFS and or fibromyalgia. The diagnosis is simple. The rest of the 3 hours of the visit after that first 45 seconds is to determine what's causing the energy crisis and mismatch, what's caused the illness, and what's making it persist. That takes an enormous range of testing and basically, like I say, I'm very, 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 very good at this. I treat people worldwide. It takes me 3 hours of my one-on-one time because there are literally over 100 conditions that commonly can contribute to these illness. And you just need to determine what those are in any given individual and treat them.
And I think that's a really important point, because I think if I look back on, you know, I've been sort of around this world, I guess, for 25 years or so, an issue with my own illness and then with sort of becoming a practitioner. And I think you were one of the first people that I came across that was talking about it in this sort of way, that we're not looking for a single pathogen or a single cause, this sort of multifactorial approach. And I think you've been quite a trailblazer in a sense in that way of looking at things. When you say there's potentially, you know, 100 different sort of subgroups or potential causes, what are some of the most common ones that you see?
Well, one of the very helpful diagnostic things in terms of differentiating things is to ask, did this illness begin suddenly or gradually, or just when did it start? And if they say, well, it was gradual, it was about 5-10 years ago, I've been feeling lousy 15 years, that kind of a thing, then usually you're looking at a mix of candida, autoimmune illnesses, things along those lines, or chronic situational stresses, abuse histories, things along those lines. If they say it started April 17th, 2010, the sudden onset, you're looking at infectious, injury, and post-pregnancy at the most common things. So that immediately divides things. A simple $10 test called the SED rate will also distinguish. Most people run a very low inflammation rate on the blood test. But if I see somebody with an elevator, which is even anything over 20, I'm going to be looking for autoimmune diseases. Most infections don't trigger the inflammation test, but I'll be looking for ones that do. So there are a couple key things that tell you what, you know, when the forks in the road, which way to go. But then again, it boils down to when you talk about shine for treatment, that also kind of tells where we're looking in terms of diagnostics.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, another way of saying what you're saying that I think is so important is that you say the chronic fatigue or the fibromyalgia is the easy bit, because of course it's not really a diagnosis, is it? It's a label for a set of symptoms. What the stage you're going after that is really the diagnosis of what's actually causing that experience.
Yes, it's a syndrome rather than a specific disease. Yes. It's a common mix of symptoms. The causes are very diverse from person to person.
Yeah. You mentioned the SHINE protocol, and I know that this has been many, many years in development. In fact, but I think, was it around the time of the publication of the first edition From Fatigue to Fantastic, you had a placebo-controlled trial looking at this protocol as well. So I'd love to take a bit of time just to explain to folks what are the ingredients of make up the SHINE protocol, and yeah, let's go from there.
So if you think of this as an energy crisis, The next question is, how do you put energy production and spending back in balance? And it's funny, I used to call it the Shin Protocol. And then when I was on Dr. Oz, he's actually a very good man, even though Monsanto got pissed off at him and the pharmaceutical industry got pissed off at him and slammed him.
Normally, it's normally a good sign, isn't it? Well, people like that.
Yeah, he's a good person. I know him and his wife well. And he said, Jacob, this is all well and good, but prove it. And he sent me this Air Force lieutenant who was crippled with the illness. And he said, get her well. And a month later, she was well. He said, okay, now you can come on the show.
That's great. That's kind of
style. But I did the Shin protocol then, which is optimizing sleep. H is hormones and hypotension, autonomic dysfunction. I would be infections. N is nutritional support. And she said, you need to add E for exercise as able. Not too much, because you'll get post-exertional fatigue and you'll crash and burn, but just a little bit to condition. So Shin became Shine that day. But these are the four key areas. And funny, in the double-blind study, for those of you who like a little bit of statistics, the p-values were less than 0.001 versus placebo for all four outcome measures. So this is a very, very, very highly effective treatment. 91% of people improved with an average 90% increase in quality of life, where the placebo group did horribly. They did poorly. So this is something that's very proven. We've treated countless thousands of people and they get their lives back. They do. So number one, S is sleep. The sleep center, that circuit breaker is off. So you need to give whatever is needed for solid sleep. There are over 30 things, natural and prescription, that can get you sleeping well, safely, and getting your 8 hours. I know most of you with this disease are saying, there's no way I can get 8 hours of sleep. And having treated thousands and thousands of people, I can count on my fingers how many we've not been able to get good, solid sleep. So you can get sleep, and it'll leave you feeling so much better.
I was going to say, I think maybe just say a few words about why sleep is so important, because I think people sometimes forget, okay, yes, sleep is something that you do to sort of rest and switch off, but so much of our body's repairing is happening whilst we're asleep.
I used to think when I was a kid that sleep was a waste of time. I'd be up till 3 a.m. reading, you know, hiding out under my blankets, and my mom wouldn't come and, you know, put me to sleep. But it's not a waste of time. It's critical, not just for making energy, for cognitive function. Sleep is when you make growth hormone, which is critical for staying young and tissue repair as well. So the research shows if you take somebody, they did this on med students, our residents actually, where for 48 hours, every time they were started to go into deep sleep, that little monitor on, they'd shake them and wake them up. And after 48 hours, they would routinely be in chronic and have widespread pain, because the little micro tears of the day that healed during sleep are not having a chance to happen. It's critical for immunity. One of the most powerful ways to immune suppress an animal is to sleep deprive it. So there's, you know, and for those who need more of an excuse to sleep, you will look 10 years younger if you're getting proper sleep and sex, because those sleep and sex and exercise is when you make growth hormone, which is a fountain of youth hormone.
I remember a while ago, we had a problem with the burglar alarm in our house where it kept randomly going off in the night. And we had this one particular night where I think it went off probably every 15 minutes right through the night. And it was like a form of torture. I remember the next day, it was like just my whole nervous system. Like in the end, I think my wife had to sleep next to the alarm so she could just press the button to turn it off. I think I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but I even tried disconnecting the battery and it went even worse. It was the whole kind of like nightmare situation. But it was just such an interesting experience in what not getting deep sleep for a whole night actually does to your, not just your energy, but your nervous system, your body. And yeah, so I just, obviously it's enormously important. And as you say, many people, sorry, go on.
I'll give them one, if you need one more excuse, the research shows that if you're not getting your sleep, you will gain an average 6.5 pounds and a 30% higher risk of obesity. Wow. So, and you know, question is, well, how much is a normal night's sleep? It varies from person to person. It's like, what's a normal shoe size? It can be anywhere from 6 to 13. So it varies, and it's what leaves you feeling the best. But to give some perspective, until light bulbs were invented 140 years ago, the average night's sleep in the United States was 9 hours a night. Mm.
Is that right? Wow. There you go. There you go. So let's then come to the second part of the SHINE protocol, hormones. Say a bit about why that's important and how you work with it.
Hormones are a body's communication system. It's how one part of the body communicates with the other and tells it what to do. Otherwise, everything goes on just low maintenance and low ebb. So we talked about the hypothalamic pituitary axis, that little circuit breaker being clicked off. That controls the hormones. It controls thyroid. But let's take a look at testing. Most of you have gone to the doctor, say, I'm exhausted, I must have low thyroid. The doctor checks a blood test, and the thyroid normal range is 0.9 to 1.7, and you're there at 0.91. So the doctor says you are normal, you know, you're right over here on the range, because the test is normal. And you say that can't be. So it's good to understand normal range, what that means. Normal means you take 100 people, you apply statistically two standard deviations. In English, that means the 95 in the middle are normal. So a normal range for shoe sizes would be size 5 to 13, as you mentioned earlier. That would be the normal range. So I wear a size 12. If I walked into the doctor with a size 6, you know, the doctor would say, it's in the normal range. You're fine. There's nothing wrong with your shoe. And it's maddening. I know you feel like strangling the guy. It's like, oh. So the test is normal means nothing. It's you look at the symptoms. And if you're, you know, if your test is in the top 10%, that's probably not an issue, maybe high, too high. If it's in the lowest 30% and you have symptoms, you deserve a trial of hormone, regardless of, frankly, regardless of what the test shows, even if you're not in the lowest 30%. So let's look at each hormone and how to tell if you need it and how to approach it. Number one, thyroid. Almost everybody with CFS and fibromyalgia deserves a trial of thyroid hormone. What are the symptoms that tell you? Tired, achy, weight gain, cold intolerant. If you have one or two of those, you deserve a trial of thyroid hormone. And how many of you listening who have CFS and fibro don't have at least two of those, the pain and the fatigue, let alone the others, numbness and tingling in the fingers, whole host of symptoms. So I will give the desiccated thyroid, nature thyroid, things along those lines. Some people do best with the synthroid, although that's a small minority. A lot of people need the pure T3 hormone. And this is getting more technical. The bottom line is that there are numerous ways to treat thyroid, how it's dosed, the form that's used, how to time it during the day, varies considerably from person to person. There is no test that will tell you. You have the symptoms, you try the hormone, you see how it feels, you adjust it, not to the TSH. The TSH, how would I describe it? One of the most god-awful, horrible, deadly tests ever created in human history. Let me be subtle about it. In this disease, the TSH is totally dependent on hypothalamic function being healthy. In this disease, I asked the world's leading researcher. I was lecturing at the World Annual Conference on this illness in Italy, along with Professor Neek, and I asked him, is TSH reliable in fibromyalgia? He said, no, not at all. It's just not. You can't use that test to guide you in this disease, or you'll be undertreated. So you adjust it to what feels best. If you feel like you have too much caffeine, the dose is too high, you lower it. On to the next hormone, adrenal. Again, very high-tech, complicated to diagnose. How do you tell? Do you get irritable when hungry? It's been called hangry. That feed me now or I will kill you. You need adrenal support. Certainly low blood pressure, recurrent sore throat, swollen glands in the neck. All of these also suggest low adrenal. But that irritability when hungry. And if you're not sure, ask your significant other. If you are in marriage counseling or divorce court, there's a very, very high probability you have adrenal fatigue that's causing it, because you get these moods, and anybody gets between you and that Twinkie or the candy bar, it's like getting between a mama bear and a cub. It's like, so irritability when hungry, I will use things like Adrenaplex. A very good adrenal supplement will smooth that out in most people very quickly. In people who need more, I will use the bioidentical cortisol. Again, that's very dangerous, and this high dose is usually used by physicians. Extraordinarily safe in the very, very tiny doses needed for CFS and fibromyalgia.
And you'll work with cortisol, or you'll also use DHA or pregnenolone or other?
All of the above. Pregnenolone is routinely low in about 70%. of the cases. They're in the lowest 2% to 3% of the population. The DHEA, again, people tend to run on the low side. ACTH tends to run on the low side. You see a cortisol level of 14 in the morning and ACTH of 16, it's confirms to me with the symptoms that we're dealing with a hypothalamic issue. So and then you treat, and if you get better, then your body wanted it. And if you don't feel any better with it, chuck it, your body doesn't want it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll let you finish, then I'll respond, yeah.
And then the other key hormone would be the reproductive hormones. 70% of males with this disease are in the lowest 30 percentile for testosterone. And that can be treated just by stimulating your body's own production with clomiphene. Most women are also low on estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Research by Professor Hilary White at Dartmouth showed that very tiny dose of testosterone in fibromyalgia women will help pain, even if the blood test was normal. How do you tell if you need the estrogen and progesterone? If your fibromyalgia symptoms, not PMS, but fatigue, pain, headache, poor sleep, are worse around your menses, you need bioidentical hormone replacement.
What I think is really interesting about the way that you're working with hormones is you're really placing a high value on listening to the body. And I think that one of the dangers can be with these things that people can go in and they'll take massive doses of stuff and get, like you said, like the kind of caffeine response, they'll get totally wired and go, oh, that's not working for me. I'm not going to do that. And often these things like and the same is true also, of course, with many supplements, particularly adrenal supplements, that the dosing and the timing can be everything.
Well, here's the thing. People with fibromyalgia are often, there's a medical technical term. Oh, it's called being a cheap date. It's as if you had like two sips of beer and you're kind of like that. You know, the medications can work very well and the supplements too. But many people with this illness, it takes tiny amounts to get the full effect. And if they take the regular dose, it's going to knock them on their behind. So always reasonable. If you find that's been your experience, I tell people start low and slow. So many of you are so afraid of taking anything because of the knocks you on your bum that you get what I call the uh-oh response. It's a Pavlov conditioned response. You put a pill and you're going to put it in your mouth and you're going, what's this going to do? Uh-oh. And I could put a placebo in your hand and it would cause a whole group of symptoms if you're coming in from that way. So just carry it around in your pocket for a few days. I know it's going to sound silly, but let your body get used to it. It is very, very critical in this disease that you learn to feel safe. In terms of your whole, what's called, you know, the dorsal vagal system, blah, blah, blah. Feeling safe is a critical part of healing in the illness. So just carry it in your pocket for a few days. When you feel totally safe, lick the pill.
As little just as that. Wow.
And give it a couple of days where you just lick it once a day until you feel totally, almost to the point where you feel silly. That, you know, if you feel that safe. Then just nibble a bit off the edge and just go up and listen to your body. You don't have to look too closely. Your body will tell you. It's not, you don't have to be looking over your shoulder. Just see how it feels. See what feels the best to you. And, you know, if half a pill does for you what four pills does for somebody else, good. Take the half a pill and you save some money.
To take your dating analogy, it's sort of like that, right? It's like just hold hands on the first date. Don't have to go the whole way, right?
There you go.
We should probably move on. So moving on to the eye, so inflammation.
Infection and inflammation.
Infection, yeah.
Sorry. So there are dozens of infections. I call this the infection of the month club. It suggests that there's not a single infection that is the main cause of CFS and fibromyalgia, but rather that numerous common infections can go ahead and trip a fuse. Now, one of the most common ones, we all have heard about Lyme disease and co-infections, and that can be a very significant trigger. Unfortunately, there's no reliable testing. Standard testing tends to say that nobody, you could have a 6-foot spirochete looking over your shoulder and they'll say the test is negative. As British Medical Journal said, you may as well just flip a coin in terms of the unreliability of most standard lab tests. And many of the holistic tests seem to be positive on everybody. So I find the testing to be unhelpful. What I will do instead is if the history is suggestive, I will consider a course of treatments with antibiotics, whether it's doxycycline. If the person has scalp scabs, I'm going to go with Zithromax. Some people go Cipro. It varies. And if the person clinically feels better with the treatment, then I presume they have an antibiotic-sensitive infection, especially if people come in with a history of, well, I took this antibiotic for dental work and my CFS and fibro went away for a week. It's like,
that's fascinating, right? It's really, we've had a number of those patients over the years, and it's a really fascinating thing. It's like, why do I always feel better when I get put on antibiotics? It's like, it's a clue.
Yeah, and they go to the doctor, well, we can't do that. It's like, yes, you can.
Start making up illnesses, right? Just so you can get antibiotics.
Yeah, it's just, again, going to most doctors for fibromyalgia is like coming to me and saying, I want heart bypass surgery. And they say, I don't know how to do heart bypass surgery. And you say, well, here's a book from Bypass the Fantastic and the Scalpel. It's like, I don't do that. And they don't do CFS and fibro. Yeah. I will note, if you walk into somebody's office and you're with your family member and they imply to you and to your family member that they're crazy, please stand up, walk over to them, look at them, tell them, thank you. Give them a big hug and say, thank you for letting me know right off what a complete and utter idiot you are. So we don't waste our time with you. Turn around, walk out the door. And it's okay to say in the waiting room, this guy is a fool. No reason to see him and just walk out the door.
I mean, it is the highest level of arrogance to say, I don't know what's wrong with you, therefore there's nothing wrong with you. Or I don't know how to treat you, therefore no one else can treat you. It's just an unbelievable arrogance, isn't it?
Yes, welcome to Western medicine. It's the only thing most doctors know about pain management is ibuprofen and Tylenol, and don't let them fool you into giving narcotics. And anybody who says they can get you pain free, like chiropractors and the rest, are all quacks. That's the sum total of most doctors' medical training on pain management. And fibromyalgia, it's worse than that. So the bottom line is, if they say, I don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy, that's just abusive. Multiple sclerosis used to be called hysterical paralysis. And, you know, lupus used to be considered neurosis. And this is now going through that process. But it's no longer acceptable for doctors to do that and let them know so. Yeah. And it's okay to turn around. It's okay to go online and to note that this doctor said, I don't know what's wrong with you, so you are crazy. And maybe you don't want to go to them if you have anything complex. But other infections, candida, major, major, major. If you have nasal congestion, post-nasal drip, clearing your throat a lot. If you have gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, I will treat with 6 weeks of fluconazole. I'll give a good probiotic. I will cut down the sugar intake for people. Viral infections, if you had onset with a post-viral, which is very common, we're seeing about 10 to 15% of people who are getting COVID are coming down with post-viral CFS, which is Dr. Fauci has noted that this is what the long haulers is, post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome. But about half of people with CFS or fibrosis post-viral, I will be treating if I suspect, well, there's a number of viruses and there's a number of antivirals, but Famvir plus Celebrex would be the main one I go with. Valsite in a very small percent of cases, Equilibrant and people who have predominantly gut symptoms, and I'm concerned about enterovirus. So the book goes through each kind of the from fatigue to fantastic. We'll go through each kind of infection, how to determine from the symptoms, because the blood testing is unfortunately, I don't want to say useless, but not very reliable for any of these infections. Testing is done by clinical symptoms. You determine, you give the treatment. If they get better, then they had it.
Yeah. So coming on to the N of SHINE, which stands for nutrition.
Yes. So nutritional support is critical for energy production. It's that simple. People ask which vitamin or mineral or nutrient I need. And by definition, all of them. And the needs go up in the illness because of poor gut function. The absorption goes down. The Western diet, let's see, it's abbreviated SAD, Standard American Diet, for good reason. Over half of the vitamins and minerals present in the food are lost in food processing. You look at 18% of calories come from sugar, 18% from white flour. You look at the rest of processing, the 50% is probably an underestimate. This is the first time in human history people are being both obese and malnourished at the same time. never seen before, because the nutrients are being stripped out of the food. So everybody, I think, needs a good multivitamin. I like the vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System. Another, if you prefer pills to powder, Clinical Essentials. And then, but again, you want one that's high in B vitamins, high in magnesium, high in zinc. And those are the two main ones that I use. Many of them out there are just woefully inadequate. Ribose, we've published two studies showing that a nutrient called ribose, it's the key energy molecule in the body. It's what your body uses to make the energy molecules like ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is ribose plus phosphate, basically, and B4. So ribose in the two studies increased energy an average of 61%. I give a 1 5-gram scoop three times a day. We actually have a Shine ribose, but any of them made by Bioenergy. And there'll be a number of brands, but it was getting expensive, so it didn't have to be. We cut the price in half and I just put it out there for people. But any form that you like, 5 grams, morning and noon is the main thing. And some people add a third dose at lunchtime. Coenzyme Q10, I will use a chewable by Terry Naturally, because that delivers the equivalent of 7 times the dose, because it has what's called cyclodextrin. I will use acetyl L-carnitine, 500 milligrams 4 times a day for a few months, just 4 months, and I stop it. We just finished a study. We'll talk about this other one in a little bit, called Recovery Factors, that just got published. It just went online.
I'm looking forward to getting to that, but we're going to park that for a moment. Yeah,
we'll do that after. In terms of diet, cut down the sugar or cut it out. You can have fruit, but not fruit juices. You know, you eat an orange, you get 2 spoons of sugar. You drink 16 ounces of orange juice, you're getting 12 spoons of sugar. You want to sit and eat 6 oranges at a pop, we'll sit there and watch you and laugh at you. You can eat the whole fruit, leave the juices. Increase your salt intake. Salt is your friend. If you salt restrict with this disease because of the autonomic dysfunction and the low blood pressure issues, you will crash and burn. Your body wants more salt, give it, and then more water. And you're saying, I already drink like a fish. Yes, you do. But because the hormone that holds on to water called antidiuretic hormone is low, you're also peeing like a racehorse. Drink more water. Your mouth is dry, drink. Outside of that, most people feel better with a high protein diet, but everybody is different. See what feels best to you and use common sense in what you eat.
You just handed out a lot of really good information there. I'm mindful of time, but just briefly for the exercise as your body's able. And I think that's the important point, isn't it?
Yes, because some doctors just say exercise more, in which case you'll crash and burn and be bedridden for 3 days. That doesn't help. It's you're only making enough energy to condition to a certain point. And if you go beyond that point, instead of conditioning, you crash and burn. And that's, it's not doing any permanent harm, but it's really unpleasant. Why do you want to spend 3 days bedridden because you did that? But if you do no exercise because you're afraid that, oh my God, you know, where's that line going to be? Then you decondition, and that's a problem. So walking, see how much you can comfortably walk where you feel good, tired after, and better the next day. Keep it at that level, even if it's just to the mailbox. You know, for the 8 to 10 weeks, after 10 weeks on Shine Protocol, your energy production will be skyrocketing. And then you can start increasing by 50 steps a day every 2 to 3 days. And then you can condition instead of crashing. I would note that for the H, we should talk about hypotension or low blood pressure or autonomic dysfunction, the POTS, you know, NMAs, all kinds of alphabet soup for it. Bottom line is, we are a big battle of water. We stand up, gravity is going to do what to that water? To the blood. It's going to send it all down to our legs. We, as an upright species, we needed to develop the ability called the autonomic nervous system to send that blood back up to our brain and muscles and the rest of our body. So if you tend to get lightheaded when you stand, or you tend to find brain fog, or you just feel worse after you're up for 10, 20 minutes, then you probably have POTS. And there's a very simple test. For those who would like, you can email me. My email address is fatigue, F-A-T-I-G-U-E, D-O-C, @gmail.com. And I'll send you an orthostatic intolerance information sheet. It will give you two quick tests you can do that and instead of the $2,000 tilt table test that'll make you sick as a dog, that will tell you right away if you have POTS. It's a very simple diagnostic. You can check your pulse and, you know, with certain standing after 10 minutes and it's all laid out, or there's a simple quiz you can do that'll tell you if you have it from the Mayo Clinic Journal. And then it's very, very treatable. And it's just the information sheet will just lay it out. Here are the treatments.
I'm mindful that we should just touch briefly on the role of the mind-body side. I know this is something that is a sort of personal interest of yours, and you've been sort of developing sort of four levels of a way of sort of thinking about this. So just touch on that, please.
Well, again, all illness is mix of mind and body. You look at multiple sclerosis, it is associated with repressed anger. That's why people with MS are so sweet. You look at ovarian cancer, people tend to have a helpless, hopeless personality. The research has shown with heart attacks, threefold increased risk if there's hostility, you know, and things along those lines. So all illnesses have a mind body. We talked about tripping the circuit breaker in the brain called the hypothalamus in the limbic system. What we're doing is biochemically, we've talked about how to restore energy, which will often turn the circuit breaker back on. But sometimes it will restore function, so you feel fine, but you need to keep taking stuff. It's kind of a crutch. But if you want to be able to get rid of the pills, there's a process called dynamic neural retraining system by Annie Halper. There's a number of different techniques. And in my book, I talk about each of these, and I'll tell you what to do and how to do it. And you just look up Hopper and dynamic neural retraining system. It'll take about 2 months and an hour a day of doing mental exercises, but people are about 70% of people improve quite dramatically. I've seen people go from a 2, which is near bedridden, to a 9, which is normal and healthy with it. So turning on the circuit breaker is step one. Step two is to release the energy of old traumas. Many of you have gone through abuse histories and things that are very, very difficult. You'll find that we hold up in our muscles. And a very simple way to release that, developed by Dr. Peter Levine, is called the trembling technique. Most animals, mammals anyway, if they've gone through a trauma, like they almost got killed by a lion and they got away, they have to release the energy of that trauma. And they do it through trembling. You may find there's times that things come up when you're sitting by yourself and you feel like shaking a bit, kind of. This is where the expression shake it off comes from. But being human, we feel stupid, trembling, so we suppress
it. We interrupt a natural process, yeah.
Yes, and so give yourself permission when you're by yourself that if you feel kind of like trembly or shaky, let it happen. It's a good thing. It's how your body is releasing layer after layer of old trauma. Nice, simple book called Waking the Tiger by Dr. Peter Levine. $10. Easy read. It'll make you an expert in it. No, don't have to pay anybody to help you with it. Emotional freedom technique for the emotional trauma energy, and techniques for feeling safe. Dorsal vagal work that's out there. Stefan Porges' work, others' work, Peter Levine's work too. In terms of the importance of feeling safe and healing from this illness, the From Fatigue to Fantastic book, and I'm going to plug that shamelessly and get the green cover edition.
Yeah.
But because it will guide you, it will make you an expert, whether you are a physician, or whether you have the illness. It's all laid out, organized, how to tell, what to do, how to make the problems go away. This is a complex condition, but very, very treatable. And that's why part of the fun of making it available for everybody is getting the information out there to make it accessible for people.
Yeah.
And I will make 80 cents a book. I mean, I'll take half a cup of coffee, pay you back when you come to Hawaii. It's good. It'll give you the information you need.
Every book sold changes your life, right? I want to spend a little bit of time. I know we're pushing on time, but I really want to spend a bit of time on the research paper that you sent me recently on the new study you've done on serum polypeptides in CFS. I thought it was really interesting, and it sounds like it's a very simple way of potentially having quite an impact. So tell us about that.
Quite dramatic. I pretty much start everybody now with most chronic illnesses on a polypeptide mix. It's a serum-based, and it's a tablet form. It comes from Europe. It's called Recovery Factors. And what it's funny, a colleague of mine who is a naturopath who I've known for decades, very solid kind of guy, was saying, and he works in the complex disease illness unit at his hospital. He had been giving it to people and finding that they were getting better. Their fibro was going away. Their other chronic illnesses were improving. And I said, well, let me try it on a couple of folks. And the effects were dramatic. And so he and I decided, well, we need to do a study on this. And this had been used for over a decade in treating malnutrition in Africa and such. So
I thought that was really interesting as well, that was the origin, that a drug that's being used for people that effectively, you say, have malnutrition, which is turning around. It sort of makes sense that in the fibromyalgia fatigue population, there's an energy deficiency, and something that's correcting malnutrition is going to have an impact. It's a logical step, but a very interesting one.
Exactly. And it helps the body shift from being catabolic, which is where your body is tearing it down in a desperate attempt to get energy, to being anabolic, where it gets to rebuild. So we did the study. We've done two studies now. The first one was just published, and it showed that 60% of people improved with an average 69% increase in both energy and quality of life. It helped mood, less anxiety. It helped gut function. It helped cognitive function, 55% sleep improved. And most people saw the effect within 2 weeks. So I invite people, just get a bottle or two. It's available now in the U.S. I'll ship it from Europe at, again, recoveryfactors.com. And I would get one bottle or even two, just because it takes a while to ship. A lot of people, they finish one bottle and go, oh, my God, I feel great. And then it takes 3 weeks to get it from Europe again, and they're without. So two bottles will tell you. One will even tell you. We just finished this another study that I'm actually the statistician has completed her assessment. I'm just finishing up that paper today of 100 people with CFS and fibromyalgia. And in that study, we looked at post-viral. What we wanted to see, because the first study was done pre-COVID, we wanted to see whether this helps for post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome. About half of the people in the study had post-viral chronic fatigue syndrome, and it was equally effective for that. So the suspicion is that for whatever the cause is, but we'll use it if I have somebody with autoimmune illness, any chronic illness, I'm going ahead and trying it with people, because the effects have been miraculous for many people. About 60% of people, it's a game changer for them.
And I think, again, the mechanism is interesting because, as you say, you're taking people from that catabolic state where their system is in a sort of breakdown mode to put it into a repair mode. And it makes sense that that's having an impact in that way. You mentioned, Dr. Teitelbaum, before we started recording, some of the other research you're working on at the moment. Just say a little bit. I'm always curious what's at the sort of evolving edge of someone's work. So just touch on that briefly as well.
Well, we just ginseng was the most popular herb in China for millennia. But it got so popular because it needed to be the wild ginseng. It was at least almost two decades old, because that built the factors and the ginsenosides in them that really is what made it so powerfully beneficial for people. It went up to about $1,000 a pound. And in a country where for many people, $10 was a annual income, you know, so if they can find, you can imagine it disappeared, because if anybody saw any of the root, it got grabbed and gone. So for the last 10, 15 years, it's pretty much been unavailable. They developed a new technique using hydroponics. And it's funny, they'll have the sound of the usual predators munching, and the plants will develop the protective chemicals for that, and then they'll adjust the temperature. So what they've done is the tests show that it has the same levels of the active ginsenosides, the active components of ginseng, as the old $1,000 a pound wild ginseng. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I mean, you know, this is 500 things a year that people say, hey, well, this, you know. And so, but I tried it. I could feel it myself. You know, I took one right before the show today, because I figured I've had several calls already this morning, and it's kind of it's early here in Hawaii for me. You'll feel it, and often you'll feel it very quickly. So it's called HRG80 red ginseng. You can find it on Amazon, but that's the only ginseng I use. The other ones are ginseng powder that mostly have nothing left in them. It's funny, I put in my newsletter. I have on my website, people can sign up for a free newsletter, because we wanted to enroll 100 people in the study, 100 people with fibro, to see what it did. So I put it on there, and my staffer was going to check it 2-3 times a day, and we figured after a week we'd have the 100 people and shut it down, so we wouldn't get any new people. She checked it 3 hours later. We have 274 people signed up for the study. So that's how many people are in the study now. outside. And in 8 weeks, you know, they should have it in their hand within about a week. So in about 8 weeks, we'll have the data back. But from what they're seeing clinically, and again, it has to be the HRG80 red ginseng. These things you can find on my website too at nfatigue.com, but you can find it on Amazon. Most of you find it easier. You know, I know it's easier to go to Amazon. And you'll know one bottle will tell you. We don't know if the tablets or the capsules work better yet. There's a big difference between them. So in the study, half of people will be getting each.
That's
about
cool.
Half. That's and cool. So in 8 weeks, I'll know which one works better.
Don't you just be agile in that sort of research? It's like, I wonder. Well, let's just try it on a bunch of people.
I
love that way of answering questions. I think it's really cool.
I want to know. Right. What is it? Do it. It's funny. The nice thing about not being a big bureaucracy, a lot of people think, oh, there must be this building, the Teitelbaum building, and all the information comes out. It's like, you know, with 100 staffers that are doing all these things. And I answer my own, you know, people ask questions on Facebook or on the website and I answer them.
I couldn't believe you gave out your own email earlier. I was like, that's actually his email.
People need somebody who knows that they can go to and ask. They don't have any place to get that. So I do that. I enjoy doing that. So I'm able to turn on a dime. It's me and my four staffers. And we decide to do something and we can do that. So we have another study that we'll be launching in about 3 months of something called Smart Energy System. It's a mix of ribose, ashwagandha, schizandra, licorice, green tea extract, and rhodiola. As I mentioned earlier, just my ribose studies showed an average 61% increase in energy. My suspicion is that in this study, people will on average come pretty close to doubling their energy. And again, it's called Smart Energy System. That's also available on my website, but on Amazon, you can find it too. But for those of you, if you're under 60 and your energy, if you rate your overall well-being with your fibromyalgia on a 0 to 10 scale, 0 dead, 10 healthy, you have to rate yourself 5 or less to be in the study. But if you'd like to be in the study, you can email me at fatiguedoc@gmail.com. It's a Smart Energy System. You can't be in the study if you have high blood pressure or diabetes. Sometimes licorice can increase blood pressure a little bit. So it needs to be monitored. So these are the next two studies we have planned, and it's just fun. And like I said,
it's great.
A simple goal, how to make effective treatment available for everybody. We're not the NIH or the... It was funny, but the COVID, the fibromyalgia budget for research at the NIH was $12 million last year, which in terms of the number of people and severity of the illness is one of the lowest amounts that they allocate. It's 1/40th the normal and appropriate amount of research dollars. But last week, they allocated $1.15 billion.
Oh, they did. Wow.
Because it's COVID, post-COVID, throw money at it. You know. So suddenly the Cinderella stepchild illness is not getting all of this research funding, which is thank you, COVID. You know,
COVID had to be good for something, didn't it? So, in fact, just speak of it, we're pretty much out of time, but just I'd love to just again touch briefly on how you're seeing the SHINE protocol and your approach working with those affected by long COVID.
It's very treatable, you know, and fortunately, most people with fibro do fine if they get the disease. And people ask, should I take the vaccine? If you're over 65, I would clearly take the vaccine. I would wait 2 months until people have been getting it for 2-3 months, and then I would just go ahead and get it. And beyond that, it's personal preference. You know, I can make arguments both ways, and it's, I'm going to be getting it myself in about 2 months. So,
and the waiting for 2 months is just to see enough people go through it and see what the impacts are.
Yeah, I want to have 30 million guinea pigs go before me.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I will note for those of you who do come down with the COVID, there's so many things you can do that the research shows is very effective. Zinc, vitamin C, melatonin, Pepcid, aspirin, quercetin, all of these things can be both, well, you can do on your own. Ivermectin has been shown to decrease mortality 83%. The psychiatric drug for OCD, Luvox, has been associated with a complete blocking. In two studies now, none of the people in the control group developed severe worse disease, and the treatment group had to go to the hospital as opposed to 12% having to be hospitalized in the untreated group, and 8 to 12% in two studies now. Problems with these things that they're dirt cheap. So if you have post-COVID fatigue and persistent symptoms, what we mentioned here for the SHINE protocol applies. Our study with recovery factors also shows that it applies. But also for the specific organs, you want to increase antioxidants for the lung and heart damage. So NAC, glutathione are two very good ones. I would use recovery factors and HRG-80 and Smart Energy System. For the brain fog, microglial activation, I will give low-dose naltrexone. I will give colchicine to settle, and I will use Curamed, which is a specific type of turmeric, to bring down the overall inflammation. For cardiac function, if you're having shortness of breath and your pulse ox is under 95, if your pulse ox is 98, your heart and lungs are fine. It's anxiety. So get that little $25 clip for your fingers. But if you look at my cures A to Z, so C-U-R-E-S, capital A-C, look up heart disease, you'll see a recipe of nutrients that will dramatically increase cardiac function and can help if there was significant cardiac damage, which is seen in over 80% of cases. So long hauler syndrome, post-COVID, CFS, whatever name you want to give it, you have persistent symptoms. This protocol can be very helpful in your recovery.
That's awesome. There's so many more things I'd love to ask you. I'm sure we'll do more interviews in the future. But Dr. Tajpal, people that want to find out more about you and your work, you've mentioned a few resources as we've gone along. What will be the best sort of central resource for people to go to?
Okay. Get the From Fatigued, fantastic book. It will make you your own expert. Go to the website vitality101.com. There's a four-step program that'll guide you on how to get well. If you don't have money for anything, if you look at step four, all the way at the bottom of, and you click on articles, after talks to, you know, articles on sleep hormones, blah, blah, blah. At the bottom, there's an article, how to get well if you have very little money. Because I know I was homeless and people say, oh, do all these things. I ate 2 days ago. You know, somebody who sat on my park bench gave me a slice of pizza then, and so I ate. You know, I'm not, how am I going to do all this stuff? So there's an article, how to get well if you don't have money. You know, this is for everybody to get well. If you want supplements, some of what I mentioned, I sell supplements at a different website. It's END, E-N like Nancy D, fatigue.com. And again, you can email me at fatiguedoc, and I can send you the orthostatic information sheet. I can also, there's a questionnaire we give for practitioners. For those of you who are practitioners, it will dramatically simplify the care. There'll be a questionnaire that for intake that will get all the symptoms and collect it quickly. There'll be a treatment thing where instead of writing the same thing out, get the thyroid, you just check off the armor thyroid and, you know, this, you get the adrenal, you check off this and Cortef. So you can ask for the treatment tools file. All of this is free. And like I said, the orthostatic intolerance one, you can ask me for the article on how to get well if you don't have much money. So you can email me with these things. Or if you want to be in the next study, the Smart Energy System study, you can email. I'll put your name on the list because it's going to fill quick.
Dr. Tajpal, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Alex, always a pleasure. And again, you can get well. That your doctor doesn't know. They're not bad people. They just don't know. Find somebody who does. And know that this is a very, very, very treatable condition.